Good morning, everyone. I think I said that at the announcement, so I'll say it again. Good morning, everybody. Today's a special day. We have baptisms. You guys have an opportunity to see those who are willing to make a statement for Christ, share their testimony, and be baptized by submersion, which the Bible clearly tells us about. It's also my daughter's birthday. She's 6 years old today, so that's pretty cool. We had a puppy party yesterday, but we're not getting a puppy. Definitely not. See, we all make decisions, right? Those being baptized today are making a decision to say, I'm willing to step out and make a statement for Christ. I'm willing to share with at least the people that are in Cross Creek that I'm willing to step out and be an example for Christ. We make decisions to accept Christ, to live for Him. We make decisions to do a lot of things on a daily basis. Sometimes we don't think about the decisions we make, and we don't consider the cost of that decision, and it gets us into trouble. But what we're going to be talking about today is becoming a disciple of Christ, considering the cost of becoming a disciple of Christ. True discipleship starts with a serious commitment of accepting Christ, followed by a lifetime of change, growing daily to be more like Jesus and working to further His kingdom. So if you're here today and you're thinking about making the decision to serve Christ and you've made that decision to follow Christ, that's your role. Daily changing to be more like your Savior, spreading His kingdom, spreading His word throughout our world. And it's a huge responsibility. But those being baptized, this is the statement that they're making. Baptism, it's the statement, Kev. It's the outward statement of that commitment. So today they're making that outward statement of that true commitment to Christ. God is actively seeking you today. If you're, you know, a lot of times we wonder where God is. What's He doing? How come He's not, why isn't He there for me? Where is He? And we don't understand, but in Luke chapter 15, it gives the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And it explains about how God is actively seeking us out. He's actively searching for us. And today, it's not a mistake that you're here. And we often tell that to the teens when they come into youth group, that it's not a mistake that they're there. And it's not a mistake that you're here today, whether it's by coming to see your relative be baptized, or you tripped and you fell in here, or whatever it is, you're here. It's because God has brought you here. And, you know, why have you been speaking to that certain person at work who's constantly talking about Jesus Christ, who's constantly talking about church, or a relative who's constantly calling you and leaving scripture verses on your answer machine and stuff like that? It's because God is actively searching for you because He wants a beautiful, loving, deep relationship with you. He wants you to be so close to Him that you don't fear anything in this world, but you fear Him. But there is a cost to discipleship. If everybody would turn with me to Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 23, there's a cost to this relationship, to this decision, to being a disciple. There's a story about a rich young ruler who questioned Jesus about, hey, how do I work my way into heaven? How do I gain eternal life? What do I have to do to get there? And Jesus told him a couple of things, which we're going to read in a little bit. But he was faced with the crisis of faith, where it went from being religious to having a relationship. And went from having a religion to understanding his Savior personally. And watch how it turns out. Starting with verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Now, his response was, I have kept all these since a boy. All these I have kept since I was a young boy. So he's probably a good guy. He was a rich young ruler. He had everything going for him. He was a good guy. Because Jesus' reply wasn't, hey, I'm pretty much God in the flesh, and no, you haven't. So he must have been a good guy. Because Jesus' response was, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing, full commitment. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Now, maybe it's not riches in your life, but right now, Jesus might be knocking on your door and he's saying, hey, come follow me. get rid of this and come follow me. Well, no, I follow the commandments and I'm a pretty good person. He's saying, I want you to go deeper. I want you to have a willingness to give up those things that are in between me and you so that we can grow together, so you can grow and learn and truly know who I am. See, this guy became sad because he was dependent on himself. He was dependent on his wealth. He was dependent on everything that he created for himself. And so pretty much he didn't want to give it up. He became sad. He had a decision to make. And a lot of times you and I, we have decisions to make. When God is knocking on our hearts and he's saying, if you would just give this up for me, things would be so much better. But we get sad because we're in control and we know what's going on. And I know better than anybody else. But what does it cost? It costs total commitment. What are we hanging on to? What are we holding on to? What we give up doesn't compare to what we would gain. If you're sitting here today and you have something that you know is really in the way between you and your relationship with Christ, it's really blocking you from being everything that God wants you to be, and it's just sitting there, whether it's worry or depression or riches or whatever it is, there's a whole long list of things that we could put in between us and God. And if there's whatever that is and he's knocking on the door and he's saying, hey, how about giving this up for me? Just trust me. Go out on a limb, give it up, be willing to give it up, and I'm going to be there for you. But we get too nervous because we're comfortable in our state. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's being comfortable where we're at financially. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich man, for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? The reason they asked is because when you had money back then, it was considered a God's hand was on you. It was a blessing. You were blessed by God when you had finances. And so they're wondering, well, wait a minute. If the rich are going to have a hard time getting to heaven, who can be saved? Who then can be saved? And Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and the age to come, eternal life. So there is a promise from our Father in heaven telling us, look, just be willing to give up the stuff that's in between you and I, and the blessings are going to be so much more than you can imagine. The peace, the comfort, the lack of worry, the confidence in your Savior. A relationship where you can strive and grow on a daily basis and not be hampered down by the last complaint or you wake up worrying about the next day or whatever it is, whatever's bothering you. He said there's blessings that come if you're just willing to give it up. But what does God want us to do when we become a disciple for him? He wants us to sell out. In Luke chapter 14, if you could turn there with me, just go back a few chapters. Luke chapter 14. Our Savior wants us to sell out for him. And sometimes we look at our relationship with him as just going to church or just doing the duty because I want to be a good person and this is what I grew up with and this is what I have, so this is what I'm going to do. But he calls us to do so much more than that. It's personal. It's serious. And it's not a game. At this point in his ministry, Jesus was headed towards Jerusalem. And he was very serious about talking to his disciples and talking to the Pharisees and showing them that he truly was the Messiah. Because he was headed to Jerusalem to die on that cross for us and for them. And some of them just weren't getting it. And so he was becoming more and more stern and serious as he was speaking to them. And he was very focused on completing God's will for his life. And as large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me, and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, we know the steps that Jesus took carrying his cross, right? Can we follow him with our crosses? Are you following him right now with your cross? Are you carrying that cross for Christ? Now, Jesus said, it's a strong word up there where he says hate, but in the Greek language, there's no word for love less or anything like that or like. He was given a contrast. Your love for me m- can't even compare for your love for your family. Because we know from reading throughout the Bible that he commands us to love our families. Love our mother and father. Honor our father and mother. He wants us to love. That's what it's all about. But our love for him cannot even compare for the love that we have for our families. It's a serious commitment. And I think it's something that we all need to look at a little closely, a little more closely. But consider what it takes to live it. That's the whole point. We need to consider, when we make that decision to follow, we need to consider what it takes. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Now, sometimes we make that decision, and we're excited, and we go and get baptized, and we're really on fire, and it just kind of peters out. It just kind of dies down. The moment was there. It was exciting. Everybody's congratulating us, and we're being told there's a party in heaven when one sinner repents, which is true. But we get to the point where we didn't really think about the cost. We didn't really think about what it takes. And so we come to the decision of, well, do I really want to live for him? Do I truly want to give things up like that rich young ruler? Do I really want to give up what I'm comfortable with to step out on a limb and to truly serve my Savior? I remember in my own life when I first accepted, or, you know, when I was saying I was living the life, or when I thought I was a Christian in my mind, where I would get ridiculed and made fun of for being a Christian. I'm thinking, boy, people are harsh on Christians. But then I didn't realize that I was saying something, but I wasn't showing something. I was still doing the same old things I used to do, which really had no effect on anything. But ridicule came. But what does God want us to do? He wants us to surrender now and don't hold back. Suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while others are still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, as it is, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Now, if a king is going to send out a delegation to a king who is coming with 20,000 men, what would stop that king from coming and doing what he was going to do anyway? Full surrender. God is bigger than us. He's more powerful than us. I know we might think we're pretty good in certain areas, but God is definitely better. He's in full control, and he's just calling us to say, "I'm yours. I surrender. I'm willing to give up everything I have to follow you." He wants us to give up everything. But the Bible has several really good examples of disciples, and one of the disciples I'm going to talk about today is Philip, a true disciple. If you turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 29. See, Philip, before this took place, Philip was really being used by God in a major way. Crowds were following Philip, and he was performing miracles, and he was preaching God's word, and people were being saved, and people were being baptized immediately, and there was a lot of good things going on. So Philip's ego really could have soared pretty high, but it didn't. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." See, when we're in tune with God, and we're taking care of the sin in our life, and we're on our knees on a constant basis, and we're reading God's word, we're going to be able to know what God wants us to do. We're going to be able to follow, just like Philip was able to follow. Now, Philip could have had a big head and said, you know what, things are good here. I really don't want to go for a walk right now. But he went. He was willing. He was a willing vessel to leave everything that was going on and stand by this Ethiopian eunuch. And if you don't realize that God is working in all of our lives, and how I said earlier that it's not a mistake that you're here, God took Philip, who was a willing vessel, and God was working in Ethiopian eunuch's heart, and he brought them together for the perfect moment of Philip being there for the Ethiopian eunuch. God is working in your heart today. Stop pushing him away. Whether it's to accept him, whether it's to believe in him more, whether it's to get more involved in his work, to spread to further his kingdom, whatever it is, he's calling you. See, Philip was truly devoted. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. If you're here, well, you are here today. I could see you guys. I was going to say if you're here today, but you are here today. If you don't understand what you're reading in God's word, ask. See, the Ethiopian eunuch, he wasn't proud. Philip, and if you know what God's word is talking about, reach out to somebody. Say, hey, can I help you? Can I explain something to you? Can I explain God's word to you? Having a hard time? Both men were willing to reach out and answer that knock that God was rapping on their door. Both men were willing to reach out. The eunuch in a way of saying, hey, I need guidance. I need somebody to explain it. And Philip in a way where, I'm here. I'll do whatever I can for you. We need to be sensitive to God's call. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. How perfect is this? He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Speaking about our Savior. Isn't it something? The Ethiopian eunuch, who God is knocking on his heart, is reading that scripture when Philip is standing right next to the chariot. Incredible. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And as God's hands and feet, Philip then began the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? A lot of times we'll accept Christ and we're like, oh, I don't know if I want to be baptized. We need to check and see, are we truly devoted? Are we truly devoted to following our Savior? Are we truly devoted and ready to make that statement of our faith and be baptized? See, God was working in a major way in Philip's life, and God was working in a major way in the eunuch's life. And he brought them together for a special occasion. And when Philip was able to reach out and the eunuch was able to reach out, God brought it together. Now, God, powerful, could have just easily made the eunuch see what he was reading. Easily could have. But he wants us to be his hands and feet. And that's why we need to get out there and start learning and start reaching out, because he wants you to be his hands and feet. He wants you to get out there and reach those people in your family. And if you're sitting here today and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, he wants you dearly. He loves you, and he wants a beautiful relationship with you. And then he wants you to get to work. So, but God is inviting you. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them. This is God's word, which is proven to be true over and over again. And if you're sitting there waiting, well, I'm waiting for this big sign. I'm waiting for this big sign. I'm waiting for something. Study God's word and ask him to give you wisdom and knowledge while you're doing it, because it happens. His word is powerful. It's true. And listen to what he's telling us. I stand at the door and knock. Every single one of us, he's knocking on our doors, whether it's to believe in his son, or it's to get more involved, or to do the work that he wants us to do. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. He loves us, but guess what? He's not going to be pushy. He's knocking. He's knocking on that door, asking us to open it. At this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward, and those who are being baptized, if you can go upstairs with Pastor Dave. The praise team is going to do a special today of Here I Am, Lord, Send Me. But before they do, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Isaiah met the Lord face to face. Okay? And listen to it. Listen to his response. He meets him face to face. He sees how holy he is. And he realizes everything he thought he was and everything that he was doing was absolutely wrong. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? God wants us to repent. He wants us to get rid of that sin. He wants us to believe in His Son. And that sin is gone. It's completely gone. But then He's asking you a question. He's not sitting there saying, hey, I forgave you of your sins. Now get out there. And I'll start doing what I want you to do or else. He's saying, who am I going to send? Who is going to go out for us? And Isaiah replied, here I am. Here am I. Send me. He's saying to us today, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? This area needs Jesus badly. We need Jesus badly. This world needs Jesus in a great way. And if we're just sitting back and we're just soaking it all in, and we're soaking it all in and we're not pushing it out, then we're not doing what God is wanting us to do. And He's invited us. Who will listen to my call? Who will teach my people? Who will reach out to the lost and the hurting? Who will feed and clothe the poor? Who will be there when someone cries out for help? Who will teach my children? Who will be responsible with my possessions? Who will be a willing vessel? And who will give up everything they have to follow me? Maybe that's a question that struck home with you guys today. And if it is, God is knocking. Open that door, because He's not going to push His way in. But He's knocking. And if you don't understand, reach out to somebody. And if you do understand, reach out to somebody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You in a major way. We thank You for the baptisms today and those who are stepping out and standing up for You. And we just ask that You bless them and bless this service, and I just ask that You'd bless this next song. We love You, we worship You, and we glorify You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.